Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Rusty McDuck.
Yes.
I am joined by John Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. Yes.
She's got a beautiful voice.
She does.
Wonderful lady.
It elevates me.
Elevating us. Dr. Doji, the electric emoji.
One and only.
Bridget, whose initials are HR.
Okay. No, that's human resources. She's Bridget Jankar's BJ.
Right.
My parents hated me.
So look, we have a very interesting show today, interesting format. And as you can see, we are in our new studio, our new flashy studio, no longer with Brinks. And
Daddy, could you show us the full studio, like, push all of us aside and show us the full studio view?
Sure. So, okay, we push them to the side. Move.
Yeah. You got to get rid of yourself.
Well, if you put us two, yeah, you can
see. Oh, you can see. Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
So, very nice studio. It's nice. And it is in place of the Brinks. And as you know, Brinks has a conspiracy show. In the last show, it's very interesting, was about this conspiracy that Brinks is actually a money laundering scheme for this show. It was a shell corporation. Fascinating, fascinating show, which obviously could explain why they ended their contract with us.
Yeah.
But look.
Your theories, I think, played a part in them getting sick of us as well.
It could have been.
Yeah.
But
I say we got out the right time. I don't know. Feels like we got the most of it.
Yeah, we juiced.
Yeah, the lawyers were coming for us.
Yeah.
But look, it is great to be with you people. You three, is it four? I don't know how many people we are. But
you can't count. There's four people on the screen.
Right. It gets confusing.
We fit perfectly.
It's confusing. Yeah. But look.
It's probably great. How many fingers you have, too.
Let us stay on track because we have a lot to talk about. The Bengals are back. Bengals played football. And really, I was very impressed with the team, with their, let's say, resilience, with their fortitude, and their ability to basically come back from so much adversity.
Yeah.
And John, you watched the game. What did you think?
I did watch the game. It's kind of crazy, you know? It feels like, I mean, my God, how many more crazy games are we going to see from this team in just the last few years? It seems like they've found every way to win and lose football games, man. Like, honestly, I want to put this out right now. I'm not glad that Joe Burrow had a bad game, but I'm glad the opportunity for us to talk about how to handle it has arisen, because the first half was inexcusable. And we don't need to sit here and coddle him and make excuses about his appendix or the fact that he didn't really play in the training camp or in the preseason at all. Joe Burrow had a bad game, and he's allowed that bad games. He's human. He's a quarterback.
A bad NFL first half. A bad
Football
first
happens.
Half.
He wasn't even that great in the second half. He played better in the second half, but he still wasn't quite the Joe Burrow that we were accustomed to. And he's allowed to have a bad game. That just happens. We don't have to sit here and oh, Jesus Christ. The fact of talking about Joe Burrow having a bad game.
You caught the Chris Collins word.
It's almost like I'm allergic to talking about it.
This is the curse. It's like Pinocchio with his nose, John.
It's the curse of Burrow.
Oh, you think I'm lying? I'm not lying at all. He did not play very good in the first half. And that was the biggest reason why. No, man. He played them out of them winning that game, unfortunately. Like, we can talk about potential coaching errors, the fact that they didn't have a long snapper at the end. Those are all insane variables that you can't really account for. You can account for your quarterback just being accurate and being on time with plays and passes that he should complete, and they shouldn't end up being interceptions. So, unfortunately, Joe Burrow didn't play very well. It was unfortunately the biggest reason why they were in that situation in the first place. And then just absolute madness and chaos ensued, and that's just the NFL.
Okay. Yeah. But John, there's something missing from your narrative. There's something missing from your narrative, John. So you tell us a story about Joe Burrow not coming in and doing his part, and then Joe Burrow gets the team back on track in the second half. And he never loses heart, and he never loses his way, and he never loses his enthusiasm and love for the game. And that is Joe Burrow. We saw Joe Burrow have bad games last year, too, that he won.
He never played as bad as he did in the first half.
So what I will say is, I don't think Joe Burrow had a very bad game.
Yes.
I don't think you can put the full loss on Joe Burrow. And I don't know if this is where you were going, Hoji, but the offensive line also played like a unit that hasn't had a chance to gel yet. I don't think it's a referendum on the O-line not being good. I don't know what the word is to be on Twitter and sort of see, LC's not worth what he's worth. I mean, LC hit the ground a few times. Yeah, there were a couple bad holds. I think what we need to see is this O-line figuring out how to work together and not playing in the preseason. They haven't gotten a chance to do that. I am curious, and we still need to talk more about the game, but I do want to hear everybody's take on the cost benefit of not playing the starters in the preseason, because I went back and forth on that yesterday, and my two cents is, I think I'd still rather keep them out of the preseason and not risk injuries, but I'm curious what other folks think.
Which teams did play a lot of starters? Is that something that other teams did?
I think some of them played a few snaps, but for the most part, I think you're playing your new guys you're playing further down the depth chart to see what you've got.
Which is why I don't watch preseason games. Yeah, I agree. I think preseason would be cool if it were one game where starters actually play instead of all this madness.
Preseason would be cool if they just disabled injuries, but that's not the case. And that's why they didn't want to play those guys out there. Now, had Lo Collins been healthy, had Alex Kappa been healthy throughout training camp, maybe the entire offensive line gets a series or two, but it didn't seem like that was really in the plans with none of the starters really playing in the preseason. But again, like, regardless if you play in the preseason or not, you can't be expected to come out that flat out of the gate to start the season. Like you said, it was the offensive line having individual struggles throughout the first half. And, you know, there's just no excuse for Burrow to play that bad.
Okay. John, you were about to say something, and I think you didn't finish your thought. you were about to say, I'm kind of glad that Burrow had the kind of game he had. And I thought that you and I were vibing on the same frequency mentally. And what you were going to say is what I was going to say, which is that when Joey Burrow has a bad game as the first game of the season, he's going to have something to prove for the entire rest of the season. Joe Burrow is a man who does better as an underdog. And now he's become he's managed to make himself an underdog again, even though he was in the Super Bowl not that long ago.
I mean, there are less damaging ways to make him an underdog aside from just imploding their chances, though, right? I mean,
well, one game. Does one game really affect their chances that much, though?
I mean, to win that game, it does. But yeah, from the grand scheme of things, yeah, I mean, the season's far from over. There's no need to go overreaction. Oh, Joe Burrow's not the same guy anymore. No, he had a really bad game against a really good defense.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know what game you all were watching, but this is the similar kind of conversation we had following the Super Bowl, where Joe Burrow tried to save the team from loss. And so he is a guy, I wrote an article this morning saying that we learned that he has the Mamba mentality. Kobe Bryant once said, I'd rather go 0 for 30 than 0 for 9, because 0 for 9 means I've been psyched out, I've given up. Joe Burrow threw what, John, 53 times? He kept throwing the ball, even though he had 3 interceptions in like his first 10 tries and a lost fumble. He's like, I don't care about the stats. I don't care.
Well, the way that he came back is not like there's nothing wrong with that, but you're comparing it to the Super Bowl when Joe Burrow didn't play the Bengals out of the Super Bowl.
No, he didn't. He didn't. But Joe Burrow in the Super Bowl played as well as a quarterback can play in that situation. And I think yesterday, I think the team was off. The play calling was off. The offensive line had no chance, at least in the run game. In the run game, they didn't have a chance. And the Steelers were pumped up. The Steelers were creative. They had what I call the Ryan Finley game, right? Where they're just like, they knew they're the inferior team and they're just going to pull everything out. And they did. And our coaching staff had no answer. And Joe Burrow's like, I'm not going down like that. I'm going to keep attacking. And you know what happens when you attack, when nothing's going right, is you turn the ball over. He could have just laid down, checked it down, and we could have lost by 30 points. But that's not who he is.
Hold on. Are you saying that if Joe Burrow decided to check down, instead of throwing right to T.J. Watt's hands, into throwing it into triple coverage to Tyler Boyd, the Bengals would have lost by 30 instead of losing at the last second?
You know, John, I'm not sure what I was saying. But all I'm trying to say is I don't appreciate this narrative about Joe Burrow.
No, this is exactly why we need to have this discussion. We don't have to be insecure about Joe Burrow. We know he's good. He had a bad game. Let's talk about it.
John, you have to understand, for Daddy-O, Joe Burrow is he who shall not be blamed. Let me just say, when I was watching the game, my insurance agent was over. Won't go into the details. He's from the Caribbean, and he doesn't understand football too well. And I was explaining to him, he watches soccer. And I was explaining to him what's going on. And what I explained to him is what I'm explaining to you, which is that everybody always talks about Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and they should. They're wonderful. They're really once-in-a-lifetime kind of guys. But what made the Bengals last year, and I think what made the Bengals in that game, was the defense. That Bengals defense is amazing. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Trubisky and the Steelers were able to do so, you know, able to push ahead despite the amazingness of the Cincinnati defense, that to me it speaks well about Trubisky's future in on this team.
Well, I know we're not supposed to talk about the woulda, coulda, shouldas, right? And I don't want to do that, but you know, you don't get the pick six and you throw the flag and you challenge the Ja'Marr touchdown, and you've got a 14 point differential there. So I do think, Hoji, you are absolutely right. Like, the defense made a huge, huge impact on that game. And I think those two plays, calls alone, like would have changed the complete rhythm of the game.
I agree.
You mentioned the pick six. I'm not sure what you're talking about, because according to our score rundown, he didn't throw in a single interception.
Isn't that crazy, John? It's like you have one kind of facts, and then our stat team has different facts. It's as if there are different facts, different alternative worlds of facts. Yeah. But you, John, you choose to be negative. And And really, I don't know. But I think that we need to appreciate more that we have Joe Burrow on the show. You know, I took a poll, John. I took a poll of all the Bengals people, and I asked them what they thought of the play calling. And as you can see in the poll, John,
not so good. I voted yes.
I voted yes as well. But I did you show them my comment that I made? Play calling is inconsequential in the year 2022. Play calling does not matter. You don't win games. That's different. That tweet is for later. That's for my horoscope.
Right. I mean,
what plays did you have an issue with yesterday,
John? Here's the thing: the plays that didn't work. That was my biggest problem. Is that the running plays didn't work?
I don't think Daddy understands football.
And all of the sacks. I didn't like any of the sacks. Not one of them. Okay. Yeah. Or the interceptions. I don't know why Zach Taylor was calling some, plays.
There's a bad sacks.
Interceptions. Joe Burrow deserves better. That's what I'm saying, John.
He deserves. Yeah, I agree. I agree that Joe Burrow deserves better. The man, you know, it looks to me like the Bengals' offensive line strategy is similar to last year in that it's let poor little Joe run around like a chicken with his head cut off, which is a gruesome scene. I usually don't use animal metaphors. Let him run around, make opportunities happen. We can do with a mediocre offensive line. And this offensive line is going to be mediocre at best. It's not the dream that we had hoped it would be. I'm sorry to say that. This is not a great or elite offensive line. At best, it's a little bit better.
But the Steelers have a great and elite defensive line. Like, it doesn't matter how great you are. Like, TJ Watt and Cam Hayward are going to do some things. Like, that's not avoidable.
We talked about the defensive line the offseason. You're like, and like how they added Ogunjobi. And I said, oh, they're going to be really good. And you said, oh, they're not that good. So-and-so's getting old. This guy's getting old. No?
What?
Okay. All right, forget that. I thought you said that. It's okay. It must have been a different, kind of platform of getting messages from John than the one that you use. I don't know. I'll turn to the facts, John. It's a real thing. Look it up. All right. Here's the other thing I want to talk about is this, John. Is we have the offensive line we talk about. They didn't play very well. But here's the thing. PFF seems to disagree. So as you can see, John, let me get over here so you can see me. I don't want you to get nervous. I'm right here, John. I'm right here. But as you can see, the PFF pass blocking grades were pretty good. And as Bengals captain points out, Volson's pure pass blocking grade was good. I can't read that small, not with these glasses. They're mostly for fashion.
You can't read the font even though it was 100.
John, stay on point and look at those stats and tell me why they're wrong.
What do you mean, why are they wrong?
He's saying John was not blaming the offensive line.
John just looks like a big stat now.
Okay, but
so the Bengals give up 7 sacks, and that means that every single offensive lineman was terrible. Is that what that means? Because that's not true.
What explains it, John?
I thought I saw some stats that said the majority of the sacks were based on Burrow holding the ball too long and coverage sacks.
This is called victim blaming, is what it is, HR. I'm surprised you haven't heard about it. It's called
called data.
Daddy, may I? I want to take sort of a more of a sacks positive approach here. So is it the case that Joe Burrow is to blame for getting sacked?
No.
Otherwise, it is the offensive line, isn't it? Who else could it be?
So here's the thing. The win, block, pass rate, all that kind of stuff. I think a lot of it has to do with, John, with the play calling and the play design.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, if it's a slow developing play, you don't really have the chance. You don't have the chance to execute, even if your offensive lineman wins his pass blocking.
I think there's enough blame to go around where everyone kind of gets into that area of criticism. I would say with the 7 sacks, if you would go through all of them, Jonah Williams was responsible for at least 2. Cordell Volson was responsible for at least 1. Joe Burrow was responsible for at least 2 for just holding the ball. It was kind of just dispersed pretty equally. Alex Kappa, Ted Karras, 2 guys that they added, they were more than fine. They were definitely an upgrade. They proved their worth against the Steelers.
They couldn't get the push up front. Why couldn't we run the ball, John? Their interior.
Steelers
are pretty good, man. Like the other guys get paid too.
Stop.
You gotta give the Steelers credit.
You guys are asking. Can I just say, you guys do not dream big enough. You don't hope big enough. You just compared him to Mary Poppins. Think up in the sky. The question isn't why not this, why not that. The question is, why don't we have an offensive lineman who's making like around $20 million a year? That's what we need. We need $20 million man.
We signed three offensive linemen, John, for the price of one premier offensive lineman.
Agree.
And they're all good. Like, what are we talking about here? The worst offensive lineman on the field yesterday was the one that they brought back from last year. Unfortunately, Jonah Williams did not play well. He had two disastrous plays in the first half.
Here's the next question, how much louder does Frank Pollock have to shout, and how much redder does he have to get before his coaching gets through to these people?
Are we sure his coaching is getting through?
It needs to get through? His redness are clearly there. He is doing his part.
Yeah.
Is he?
How much more does he have to do?
Jamar Chase is doing his part. The receiving corps.
I know Jonah Williams can play better.
Nixon is doing his part. Jamar was a star yesterday. Like, if anything should make Bengals fans feel good, Jamar is back. Like, everybody was like, Bengals, you know, Super Bowl slump, blah, blah, blah. Jamar looked just as good as what you'd want from a second season player. I do think, like, I know a lot of people love a little passion in their players. I think we gotta like calm the young guy down. We don't need to be grabbing mouth guards out of other people's mouths and throwing them on the ground. But
we should have washed his mouth with soap, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
But I think he just looked smashing and impressive yesterday. And
true, but Bridget, what do you think? Don't you think there were a few times when Joe Burrow was targeting Jamar? I this is just amateur hour here. I don't.
I'm going to have to mute you.
You will. But mute me when I'm done talking. It seemed to me there were a few times when Joe was forcing it to Jamar. I said it. I felt like Joe Burrow was a bit under pressure, and whereas we were watching him make some creative decisions last year, this year it was a little bit too much heavy on the Jamar.
See, I didn't feel that way.
Okay.
I didn't feel that way. I don't know.
I'd like to know how John feels.
Yeah.
And we don't care how daddy of.
I will say this. Actually, I was going to say.
Let John talk. Let John talk.
John. 15 targets?
Yeah.
He had 15 targets, 10 catches, 129 yards. I feel like that was the performance. Yeah. I mean, that was the performance we were kind of waiting for because last year, you know, they were spreading the ball around pretty equally. And the narrative was, Joe wouldn't be anything without Jamar, when in reality, like, he should have been throwing the ball more to Jamar Chase because good things typically happen. And they did, like, 10 receptions, 129 yards. Should have been three touchdowns if he got his foot in that one. And then, the Bengals maybe challenged that.
Well, he has to get
should have been touchdowns. So, on the last play, the last seconds of the game, he's got one-on-one coverage. The little out route, of course, is going to Jamar Chase. And of course, he makes the catch. I think the overlying point, though, is that we're talking about coaching, we're talking about play calling, we're talking about variables that we can't control. At the end of the day, the Steelers won that game because their great players made great plays. Minkah Fitzpatrick picked six. Minkah Fitzpatrick blocked extra point. T.J. Watt goes off before he tears his pectoral. And the Bengals stay in that game because Joe Burrow comes back and is Joe Burrow. Jamar Chase pops off like Jamar Chase usually does. Great players have such a huge impact on the game. And the Bengals have the talent now to match up with any other team. Despite all the other chaos going on, they have the players to make the impact to stay in these games. And that's the
agreed. And I was going to say there was another star, which was who's the new tight end that really looked good?
Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, Hayden Hurst. That kid, man, I love, and I knew Joe, and Dadio had said this actually, that Joe Burrow would make any good tight end look exceptional. And I think Hurst is more than exceptional. I think he's great. I loved it. I loved the chemistry.
I thought Hurst looked good. I mean, I think Hurst shined in overtime.
Yeah.
Made the plays you'd want to see.
Yeah.
It was his first game with the team, so I think we'll see more from Hurst. But I thought he earned his paycheck in overtime for sure.
Well, let us look at the clips and do some real analysis here instead of just relying on John's memory. of, you know, his narration of what happened in the game. So,
okay,
as you can see here, we have the game, and let me turn on the audio.
No, no audio. Better without audio, isn't it?
No, here we go. Here we go. Oh, that's better. Okay, no, that's not better.
Click the out video button instead of the audio button, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Forget that. It's some, there's some error with that. We're gonna need.
Man, I miss Courtney.
I'll call.
Good thing you didn't throw an interception on that play.
With Courtney, everything was working so smoothly.
But you can.
Are we watching more clips or what?
Well, we either have to watch all the clips or it's 5 minutes long. I don't know how to pause it.
Play the next play, Daddy. I want to see what happens.
Yeah.
Are we sure? Okay.
I'm not seeing anything.
Nor hearing anything.
Yeah, it's a little glitchy. It's a little glitchy. Here we go.
No, we already saw this play.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's either you got to watch all of it 5 minutes in a row or you get nothing, John. You
want to see one next play?
I think we're going to lose our...
So Joe Burrow got sacked. There's very little to talk about in that play.
Okay.
So this works great on an audio platform.
Okay.
So now Joe Burrow goes back and then...
Yeah.
Bro. I wonder where that went.
Wow. This has gone from being a low-budget production to being really embarrassing, I would say.
We'll work on it.
Okay. Look, so, guys, I want to talk about one more thing, John. We learned...
What about my horoscope?
Clark Harris. No, we're not done. One more football thing. Clark Harris, John, he's done for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we had an off-season discussion where, you know, you were upset that we were talking about the long snapper competition. And we talked about Cal Adomitis admitting that he has a lot to learn. And now we're in a situation, John, where he's going to have to be the longest snapper. And none of us thought that was a serious position until yesterday. And we learned that it can really swing the outcome of a game. So what is going to happen now with Adomitis?
Other than him just filling in for Clark Harris?
Can he do it?
Is he a good snapper?
Well, he's better than Wilcox. I'll give him that. Like, we saw him snap in the preseason. We saw him snap in training camp. Like,
who's the best snapper in the NFL?
It's probably Clark Harris. He hasn't had a missed snap in 13 years. So there's big shoes to fill. Obviously, the role is valuable because if you don't have a guy that can do it, then you can't kick a freaking field goal. So, yeah, he's got to do it now.
Change their tune. Okay. And so
the thing is, Cal was, the he does have a history of, you know, snapping.
He does.
So he snapped before.
He and I have that in common.
Yeah.
So, like, a snapping back at people? You mean? No, that's not what I mean.
But, isn't it? Can I, John, I need to ask you a question because this has been troubling me since 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever time yesterday when we missed the field goal. So we take the field goal. Or decide to, we call the field goal at third and whatever, because, right, you have a bad snap, you fall on it, you get the chance to kick again. It was a really high snap. Why didn't Huber fall on the punt or fall on the snap? What was that?
My best guess is that, one, I don't think Huber's ever done that because he's never had to take a bad snap. And the fact that he did grab hold of it and handle it and put it down, I think in his mind he thought that he had enough time to do it, and in that split second he should have realized that the laces weren't out. The laces were facing McPherson. That's a recipe for disaster, even on a 30-yard field goal. That's why the field goal went wide left. So the fact that he was able to handle it and grab it and place it, I think in his mind he thinks that he could have salvaged it. But yeah, with that high of a snap, the fact that he couldn't put the laces out, that should have been something that was reinforced into his brain before the snaps. And hey, we're doing this on third down, we got a backup long snapper in there, the snap might be bad, if it's in any way, shape, or form bad, fall on it, we'll go the next play. But I guess that wasn't reiterated to him.
Yeah. And then there was some other weird stuff we learned, like, for example, I didn't know that you're not allowed to run, make positive yardage on a fumble that you didn't fumble, which Pirine did, and they didn't count, which...
Hoji, you and everybody else in the stadium, on the field, I feel like there seems to be a lot of rough confusion the last two seasons. Some of that is good. I feel like they're trying to get, you know, make the right calls, get the rules right. But that play in particular seemed to really boggle some folks.
Yeah. We're going to have a whole episode about CBD oils and ref confusion, because I have a theory on that. I'll have to wait for later. Summary, CBD oils can help with
let us move on to the horoscope. We have a lot to cover. So,
If I could take a moment to give you my little horoscope in reaction to this game, Bridget and John. So you're both too young to remember a time when there was a famous gorilla named Coco the Gorilla. Coco the Gorilla, beloved, you can call her the Harambe of her time, really. Harambe, the beloved Cincinnati gorilla, was killed at the ripe age of 17 in May 28th, 2016, one day after his birthday. But this is a different gorilla, Coco. Coco was taught by scientists to use sign language. And Coco could sign about 1,000 words and had an IQ of 90, which is as intelligent as an infant. Now, you might say, what does that have to do with the Bengals? Daddy, could we pull up the little Coco visual that I had? Can you pull that up for me? It's a picture. Okay. Now, what you're seeing here, Coco's favorite show was Mr. Rogers. And what you're seeing here is Coco's hugging Mr. Rogers. And then what you see, the last frame at the bottom there, you know what she's doing? Can anyone guess? It's not attacking. It's a peaceful.
And the bottom one, is she giving him a foot massage?
Very close, very close. She took off his shoes. Why would she take off his shoes? Because that was her favorite part of the Mr. Rogers show. If you notice, in Mr. Rogers show, even, you know, when he comes home, he always takes his shoes off. And she loved that. This is an intelligent, shall I say human? I mean, really, very much at the level of human. Sign language, 1,000 words. Now, where am I going with this? Very few people have heard of Coco. This is where I'm going with it. Coach Zach is the Coco the Gorilla of the Cincinnati Bengals. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that he's a man who we don't hear a lot from. Sure, he does the coach's interview, but he's not on the field. And what we're not seeing is the signing that he's doing, the speech that he's communicating to these players in halftime. If you remember, we had... No, you can't do that, Adio. No, go back to mine. You cannot. This is my time. If you remember, last year we had a ton of games where the Bengals look like everything was lost. They go in for the halftime pep talk. Coach Zach changes it around. That is good coaching. That is creating a culture of winning. And that's what Coach Zach has done. I don't know what's going on. I don't speak his gorilla sign language, okay? But whatever he's doing with these players, it is working. He is a very, very special, oh, man. Man, Abu Hassan, Mr. Rogers from Pittsburgh, I love the Steelers. Well, remember, this is about Coco. Coco did not know that at the time. So anyways, that's my horoscope. What I think is that as long as Zach is the coach, as long as Joey Burrow is our QB, this team has a lot of wins coming. And I did not lose hope. I was happy that Joey Burrow has something to prove now. And Zach never loses heart. That man has nerves of steel. I watched him in the playoffs when everything was looking down and out, and he looked like nothing. He looked like he was just waiting for a bus. So way to go, Zach. No, you can't do that. That isn't my horoscope. You can't do that. Don't. He's a good. It doesn't matter what people think.
91 people is a great sample size.
Yep,
it is. It is. Yeah, but who cares about play calling? This is not John Madden football. This is real football. Play calling does not matter.
Okay.
And I'm sure Zach Taylor would love to know you compared his IQ to that of an infant.
Well, to be fair, Zach Taylor's brain, as we've discussed, is still developing. He is actually his skull is mostly a steel cartilage, if I'm not mistaken. If you look at his age, it is probably so.
Growing pains.
Right. Okay. I think that's all we have, really. I just hope everybody.
Are we not going to talk at all about next week?
Let us talk Cowboys. About next week, because, yes, go ahead.
Just, good job, Bridget. I mean, thank you. I'm just curious what folks think, because we got to see an interesting look at our competitor last night, and Dak's now out for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And interestingly, Do we remember getting beaten by the Cowboys' backup quarterback in 2020?
They don't got Dalton this time.
They don't have Dalton this time, but we did get beat by the Cowboys' backup quarterback.
Are the Cowboys?
No, Joe Burrow was on our team then.
He wasn't the quarterback.
Was he hurt already?
Yeah, that was the game they fumbled three times and I think four plays.
So what are we thinking? Because
are the Cowboys going to sign Cam Newton?
That'd be wild.
They should.
If they were smart,
they would.
So Parsons looks dangerous. Parsons looks tough. Cowboys offense does not.
No.
I don't know who anyone is throwing the ball to.
I think that the Bengals could have their redemption against the Dallas Cowboys, and I would love to see that because there will be a lot of people watching that game, and I think that it's time for people to see this team for what it really is. This is the NFL's top team. It was a fluke that the Rams won, and it was a fluke that they lost against the Steelers. The flukes are over. The fluke is up, and now it's time for the wins. So I think they're going to beat the Cowboys. I think when you give the Cowboys an offense like that, that's broken down, that has no Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott's thumb is broken, then the defense can do what it does best, which is dominate. And Joey B can do what he does best, which is, you know, pass the ball. And they'll win. Oh, man. Andrew, you are my... He said, Andrew Silas said, Cowboys signed Brett Favre. That would be a dream come true. I am a huge Brett Favre fan.
I mean, there's a McCarthy connection.
That's true.
Yeah, but I think Cam Newton is... I am shocked and appalled that Cam Newton was not signed by any teams. I think that's very, very strange. And I think that he's better than, for example, Baker Mayfield. I think that you got to get him on the Cowboys.
Yeah, I agree.
You're saying... Now, hold on. Crypt Keeper, what is this comment? You're saying monkey is frights at the zoo is more organized than... No, that's not what I was saying. No, don't do that. Don't bring that means nothing. That's just Twitter.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, no. I think that we covered everything, really.
Yeah.
It was a good show, and we managed it. And that's it. So make sure to tell your friends about the show, referrals, free referrals.
The last thing I'll say, Daddy-O, if we win next week, I want you to put that exact same poll up and see what the answers are.
It would be the exact same answer.
Actually, forget it. Can I ask all of you watching now, whether you participate in the Twitter poll or not, put in the YouTube comments what you really think about Zach Taylor and his play calling.
Yeah.
Do you agree with Hoji or do you agree with Daddy-O? Daddy-O thinks that Joe Burrow has this team on his back. I believe that Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow together are the secret sauce.
I think the team is the secret sauce. I think this is, I think there are leaders, but I think the team has the team on their back. And I think that's what makes the Bengals special.
I think John is becoming frustrated by the level.
I think Ken Anderson has this team on his back.
Well, look at that.
He's going to be on the show soon, by the way. This is just him talking.
He was really lovely at the tailgate. It was very nice to meet Ken Anderson.
He's a great guy, lovely guy. All right. I think that's all we have. Right? I mean,
John is holding in a big ball of fury. Why don't you call on John and then end the show?
Go ahead, John.
End the show.
Okay, let me just turn the output music down. Oh, that's fine. Oh, that's not the right music. How do I turn this off? There it is. Okay. Daddy no longer cares. That's not true.
No, because you didn't do the section.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never cared, though.
All right, well, don't forget to subscribe, turn on notifications, all that stuff, and go to our podcast and all the podcast places. That's all we have. We'll see you next time. So long. Sweetie. Bye.
We're live.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.